Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah. At work in our lives. Thank God for the new birth. Thank God for salvation. Our lives have been forever changed and altered in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So welcome to another episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast. And we've been studying metaphors for salvation. Right now we're studying reconciliation. Reconciliation. In case you are joining this broadcast for the first time, it's the 45th episode. That means quite a lot has been said. I want to encourage you to take out some time to listen to the previous episodes. You can head to soundcloud.com, www.soundcloud.com/edwjpodcast.com. Okay, not .com anymore because the .com is before the slash. So www.soundcloud.com/edwjpodcast. Do you understand? EDWJ stands for Every Day with Jesus. So EDWJ podcast. And then you'll find all the previous episodes on that platform. And then you can download. They are all accessible. You can download them on your PC. If you are streaming on your mobile devices, you might not be able to download. But they are available for download on PCs. So you can use your PC or, you know, use that of your friend or your neighbor, anyone, so you can download the files for you to catch up with many things that have been said in this broadcast. Hallelujah. Before I continue on metaphors for salvation today, I want to challenge you. You know, it came to my heart to just challenge you and spur you on or steer you up by way of reminder in the area of spiritual disciplines, spiritual commitments, in the area of committing to your spiritual growth. You see, receiving knowledge without commitment to prayer, without commitment to more study, more devotion to Bible reading, more devotion to searching the scriptures, and more devotion to prayer, heartfelt commitment to prayer, and, you know, an attitude of sharing your faith on a constant, on a regular basis is going to result in accumulating knowledge without use. Hallelujah. It's going to result in developing a dull sense of hearing. You're going to develop what the writer of Hebrews refers to as being dull of hearing. Being dull of hearing does not mean you're no longer paying attention. It means you've become lazy in the things you've heard, and it has produced nothing but carnality or babyhood in you as a Christian. You see, you can receive knowledge to a point where you've done nothing about the knowledge you're receiving, and that's a very dangerous thing. You know, because it gets to a point in time you are so familiar with those concepts, so familiar with those scriptures, you think you even know them. You think you've understood them. Hallelujah. Now, the knowledge of God that changes us is not that which we hear once in a while or that which we have heard in time past. The knowledge of God that transforms and changes us is that which we are giving ourselves to on a regular basis. Is that which we continue in. Is that which we continue to receive. Is that which is dominant in our thoughts, dominant in our mindset, is that which has gained ascendancy over, you know, our thoughts, is that which has transformed and renewed our minds. That's the knowledge that changes us. There must be a present consciousness of the realities that you know, that you have come to know in the Christian faith. Hallelujah. It is not enough to have heard that you are righteous in the sight of God. It is not enough to have heard that you are justified, made righteous in His sight. It's not enough to have heard that you have the gift of the indwelling Spirit. It is not enough to have heard. It's about hearing these things continually. It's about paying attention to these things on a regular basis. It's about consulting scriptures regularly, setting the scriptures to, you know, stir up your mind by way of reminder. It's about not, you know, discontinuing or disengaging yourself from the scriptures. It's about maintaining a culture of consistency in your word intake. Hallelujah. Look at James chapter 1. This is very important because I've seen Christians who eventually got so tired and got fed up of these truths, these realities. And the problem was not with, you know, the problem was not and is not with the truths or with the realities we are sharing. The problem is with their attitudes. Hallelujah. Their attitude. If you listen to the same things over and over and over again without any dutiful commitment to your growth in the area of prayer, prayer is very important. Prayer is one of the things you must do consistently as you receive the word of God. If you are receiving God's word and you're just accumulating knowledge and you never yield yourself to prayer, you'll soon be tired of the things you're hearing. There are many Christians like that already as we speak. Hallelujah. You must receive the word of God with a desire, a burning passion for prayer. Glory to Jesus. A burning passion for prayer. So such that the word of God and prayers must go hand in hand. And then the third thing that must happen after receiving God's word and prayers, but let me put it this way. The second thing that must accompany the receiving of God's word must be a passion to share the same. A passion to bless a soul. A passion to reach out to men. Do you know you also get blessed when you teach God's word? Hallelujah. Most times when I'm done teaching on this broadcast, I can't stop praying. Why? Because I'm also blessed by the things I share. I'm also blessed because the word of God coming through my lips is not just, coming out from my lips. It's not just coming out from my mouth. I'm processing what I'm saying. It's flowing through my mind. Hallelujah. Preaching is not speaking in tongues that does not go through your mind before coming through your lips. Teaching God's word comes from your mind. It's from an abundance. It's from an abundance of God's word you have stored in your heart. It's from an abundance or a wealth. It's from an abundance or a wealth of knowledge or wisdom that you have come to know from the word of God. So you are sharing from a place of knowledge. You are sharing from a place of wisdom. You are sharing from a place of abundance. So the things you are saying are coming from your mind. Glory to Jesus. You are processing the things you are saying. And you know what? That means you are thinking actively on the things you are sharing. Glory be to God. You are actively thinking on the things you are sharing. And that's exactly what it takes to be edified. That's all that is needed to be edified. Having your mind think on the word of God. Having your mind stay on the word of God. Having your mind process these realities over and over and over and over again. Be aware and conscious of them. That is happening to me as I'm teaching right now. And that's the same thing that happens to us when we share our faith with unbelievers. When you get out there in the world and every day you are sharing the gospel, reaching out to people, and you are blessing people with the word of God, sharing with them what Jesus has done on the cross of Calvary, and what his death and resurrection has achieved, and you are correcting misconceptions and wrong perceptions of men, and you are correcting those things from the word of God, you know what? You are also edifying yourself in the process. So prayer must be a culture that accompanies the receiving of the word of God. Second to this must be a passion to reach the world, a passion to be a blessing to others, a passion to teach the word of God, a passion to educate men with the same things that you have come to know. Glory be to God. Let's see James chapter 1. The knowledge of God we are receiving must be something we continue to receive if we want it to have any meaningful impact on our lives. James chapter 1. Glory be to God. James chapter 1. I'll read from verse 21. Glory to God. James 1:21. Bible says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Have you seen? The way to be a doer of the word is to continue to look into the perfect law of liberty. It is not about taking a one-time glance. It's not about, stealing a glance once in a while. It's not about looking once in a while and then, looking and going. And then, no. It's not about looking once and then you say, forever, you have looked through scriptures and you are okay. Remember a young lady was asking me this question shortly before she started claiming to be an atheist. I knew she was already treading, that slippery ground when she asked me that question. She said, why do we need to continually listen to God's word? Can't we know it once and just make progress? That's laziness speaking. Hallelujah. He said, why do we need to always listen to God's word to renew our minds? Can't we listen once and our minds are renewed? And then I asked her this simple question. How many times did you pay attention to mathematics, pay attention to words used in the English language when you were learning some particular words? How many times did you pay attention to tenses, the use of past tense, present tense in school before it eventually stayed with you? How many times did we have to recite the national anthem before it eventually stayed with us? How many times did we have to recite, you know, different things over and over and over and over again? How many times did we have to revisit and consult our academic materials before the concepts and the ideologies that they were meant to instill in us stayed with us? How many times? It's not a one-time thing. You know why? Because the mind of man is fleeting, it's transient. The mind of man, you know, attracts things at different times and can easily just let go anything that is not dominant, that is not constantly being, you know, that it is not constantly being exposed to. That is the reason why we must always feed our minds with the Word of God, because we would always need to renew our minds. We always need to expose our minds to it till it sticks. And even after it has stayed with us, we must continue to focus on it so that it does not, you know, slip away from us. Hallelujah. So we must always continue to receive the Word of God. We must continue to receive the things we have known. The formula is simple. What we have known, we must know again. Hallelujah. What we have known, we must know again. What we have read, we must read again. What we have heard, we must hear it again. Everything that you have known, you must know again. That which you have read, you must read again. That which you have heard, you must hear again. That which you have taught, you must teach again. That which you have preached, you must preach again. That's the formula. It's so simple, and that's the path of consistency. And that's how spiritual growth comes. Glory to Jesus. Following this is a commitment to prayer. A heartfelt devotion and commitment to prayer. You must be found praying as a believer every day. Listen, prayer is not to be for some particular days, some special days or occasions. Prayer is not meant to be an event, a special event in your life. Prayer is a daily affair. It's a lifestyle. You must be found praying every day as you receive the ministry of the word. Glory be to Jesus. Because if you don't give yourself to these things, you know what? You are soon going to get tired of everything. Hallelujah. You're going to get tired of all these things we are teaching. You won't see a difference in your life. You won't see any remarkable experience. There won't be any transformation. And you'll be blaming the word of God rather than blaming your attitude and faulting yourself for not being consistent in your commitment. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. You see, God's word effects a change only when we continue in it, when we continue to receive. God's word is able to transform us, is able to effect a change in our lives only when we continually expose ourselves to the light that is in it. Glory be to God. So a consistent, passionate culture of prayer must accompany your word intake. Next to this, a passion to preach the gospel. When last did you preach the gospel? When last did you reach somebody with the gospel of Christ? When last did you reach an unbeliever? When last did you share your faith with somebody? When last did you lead a soul to Christ? These are things that must accompany the receiving of God's word. You must be given to preaching the gospel. Glory be to God. Someone says, well, I'm not mature enough. I'm not spiritually mature enough to preach the gospel. See, what you need to preach the gospel is not so much maturity. Just tell others what got you saved. It's as simple as that. So simple that the woman that Jesus spoke to by the well, the Samaritan woman by the well that Jesus had a conversation with, went into the city immediately and was telling everybody all that Jesus said. And people came to Jesus because of the things he said. And they paid more attention to Jesus till they also arrived at believing in Jesus for the sake of what Jesus said. But you see, as simple as what she did, you know, is, that is evangelism. Praise God. That's nothing but bearing witness to that which you have heard, that which you have received, that which you are partaking of. So it's so simple. Just tell others the message that got you saved. Hallelujah. Tell them how Jesus came your way, and by his love and his grace, you received his kindness, you received his forgiveness, you received the gift of eternal life just by believing in what he has done. That is the simple message that is to be found on your lips to, you know, every unbeliever, every sinner out there in the world. With a consistent practice of prayer and preaching the gospel, as you receive the word of God, growth is inevitable. Hallelujah. Spiritual growth is a guarantee. And, you know, I want to encourage you today. I want to plead with you by the message of God. I want to plead with, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you as much as I'm instructing you to give yourselves wholeheartedly to these things. Give yourself wholeheartedly to these things. Glory be to God. So let me start teaching metaphors for salvation. Reconciliation. We've been studying reconciliation. And this is the part 3 in reconciliation. And this study is a part of a whole series that we've embarked on in the past few weeks now. Forgiveness of sins, remission of sins, or salvation by faith in Christ Jesus. So, we've seen how that reconciliation is the very opposite of the word enmity. The man that receives reconciliation ceases to be an enemy of God. We all were enemies of God in time past. We all were children of wrath. We all were children of disobedience. And then in receiving reconciliation, we were saved from that state. And we are brought into friendship with God. Friendship with Christ. Glory be to Jesus. So we were once enemies of God. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 to 10 again. Turn your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 5 verse 8 to 10. Glory to Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Romans 5 verse 8 to 10. Bible says, but God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For even when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We're going to look into the issue of God's wrath in this series also. But for now, let's focus our attention on reconciliation. So we were enemies of God, and now Bible says through the death of his son, we have received reconciliation in Christ. Hallelujah. So now observe also that this reconciliation was not found in the Old Testament. What you find in the Old Testament is the word atonement. Of course, that word atonement, the Hebrew word translated atonement in the Old Testament, also means reconciliation. But it is not reconciliation of men to God because there was no such thing in the Old Testament. Men could not be reconciled to God in the Old Testament because the word atonement means a covering. We've seen that earlier in this study. It means a covering. A covering. It means to conceal something. Into which sins remained, they were only concealed and covered, more like God was overlooking those things. And we saw in Romans chapter 3, turn your Bibles to Romans 3, Verse 25, Bible says, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Have you seen? God passed over the sins that were previously committed. Hallelujah. He passed over them. It means to bear with. It means to endure. God passed over the sins. They were not taken away. They were not removed out of sight. It's in Christ Jesus sins are taken away. Sin is dealt with. Sin is taken away. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Glory be to God. So it's in Christ sin is taken away. It's in Christ sin is taken away. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 1. So in the Old Testament, there couldn't have been reconciliation because sin remained. And all the sacrifices they were offering every year could not deal with sin, could not take away sin. Hebrews chapter 10, I'll read from verse 1. Bible says, for the Lord then, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers once purified would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins every year. Have you seen? There's a reminder of sins every year in the sacrifices of the Old Testament. Glory to God. Bible says the law had a shadow of the good things to come. So if it was a shadow of the good things to come, that means the forgiveness in the law was a shadow, was not the real thing. Men's sins were not being taken away, they were being covered. Look at verse 4 of Hebrews 10. It says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. Hallelujah. It's impossible, absolutely impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you see how there's no such thing as reconciliation in the Old Testament. There's no such thing as men coming into harmony or friendship with God in the Old Testament. The person that, the folks who walked in friendship with God before the before the advent of Jesus' death and resurrection, we have the likes of Abraham. The Bible referred to him as the friend of God. You discover that he was offered friendship on the basis of his faith. Same way his righteousness came on account of his faith. Romans chapter 4, from verse 1, Bible says, let me quote, Bible says, what then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? He says, if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about. Bible says, but not before God. What yet the scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. So Abraham was called a righteous man on the ground of faith. This is alluding to the event of Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Bible says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for what? For righteousness. Glory be to God. So the same way Abraham was called a righteous man on account of his faith, Abraham was called a friend of God on account of faith. Glory to Jesus. On account of his faith. So nobody had reconciliation. Nobody enjoyed friendship with God based on the law, based on the old covenant, based on the things they were doing, based on the sacrifices of the Old Testament, sacrifices of bulls and goats and turtle doves and ephah and all that. Nobody could obtain reconciliation because the atonement was merely a covering for the time to come. Glory to Jesus. The Bible says every year there was a reminder of sins. Every year a reminder was made. The sacrifice that was meant to take away sin, according to them, was only serving to remind them of their sin state, of their sin status, of the fact that they were in need of forgiveness. Glory to Jesus. So, look at this scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to 18. That's why both Jews and Greeks are reconciled in Christ. Both Jews and Greeks are reconciled. They find reconciliation by the same process, the same approach, by the same faith in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, glory be to God. Ephesians 2 from verse 11 to 18. Bible says, therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called on circumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the covenant of from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Have you seen? You who once were far off. So up until this point, it shows us that there's a distinction made in the Old Testament between Jews and Gentiles. And then Gentiles were called the uncircumcision. Jews were called the circumcision. And then, we were without hope, without God. We were far off from Christ. One would think that the Jews who were near were saved. Hallelujah. What an irony. Now, it goes to verse 14. It says, but he himself is our peace, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Have you seen verse 16? That he might reconcile them both to God. That he might reconcile them both to God. So Jesus came to reconcile both the Jews and the Greeks, that is the Gentiles, to God in the same body, by the same faith. Verse 17 says, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. Imagine that Jesus came to preach peace to those who were far off, that is, we that were Gentiles in the flesh, and to those who were near, the Jews. He came to preach peace to both of us. Now, that word peace is the word that means harmony. Glory to Jesus. It's not just peace of mind. It's not just peace in this life. It's harmony between God and man. And Bible is saying that Jesus came to preach peace to us in his redemption. So both the Jews and the Greeks, Jews and Gentiles, have harmony, reconciliation, peace with God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at verse 18. Bible says, for through him we both have access by one spirit to the Father. Through him we both have access by one spirit to the Father. The word access there is the word admission. That is, we were brought in by the same spirit. Glory to Jesus. Still the same concept of reconciliation, in the which a man is brought into harmony or into friendship with the Lord, into friendship with the Father. We are brought into harmony, into relationship with God the Father in Christ Jesus. Bible says it is through one spirit we both, who are the both, the Jews and the Gentiles, have access to the Father. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, there's no way reconciliation could have been an Old Testament reality, because even the Jews were anticipating this in Christ Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. They were anticipating this. And what is the result of this reconciliation? Peace with God. Hallelujah. We have peace with God. We have peace with God. You know, I told you that the word peace, when the Bible says he came to preach peace, that word peace is the word that means harmony. And that is the implication of the reconciliation we have come to receive in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We have peace with the Lord. We have peace with the Father. We have peace with the Father. We have harmony with the Father. We are at peace with God. Oh, hallelujah. We are at peace with the Father. You see, I don't wake up daily, you know, feeling uncertain about my relationship with the Father, feeling uncertain about his disposition towards me, feeling uncertain about my place in him. I know that at all times, I'm perpetually at peace with the Father. Not on the basis of what I do, not on the basis of my works, not on the basis of my merits, but on the basis of my faith in the finished work of Christ. I have peace with the Father. Hallelujah. I have peace with the Father. I'm not as uncertain about his disposition towards me. That's why you find out in the epistles of Paul, you find out even in the epistles of Peter, you discover that there was a common way they introduced their letters, grace and peace to you. Peter will say, grace and peace be multiplied. Hallelujah. You know, Paul will say, grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace, showing you that the disposition of God towards you is that of peace on a regular basis. Is that of peace on a perpetual basis. Not based on what you are doing, not based on your actions or your conduct, but based on that which has been done and settled in Christ Jesus. God is at peace with you. We are at peace with God. God is at peace with us. We are at peace with God at all times, in all places, anywhere, any day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are at peace with the Father, and the Father is at peace with us. Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Luke 2:14. Glory to Jesus. The implication of the reconciliation we have received is that we have peace with God. We are at peace with the Father. We have harmony with the Father in Christ Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God. Look at this. Bible says, Luke chapter 2, verse 14, the story of the shepherds that were watching their fields while Jesus was born. Luke 2:14, Bible says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Look at this. Let me read from verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Why were they afraid? Because in the Old Testament, the appearance of angels was, you know, most times an appearance of terror, judgment. The Old Testament saints dreaded, or let me say, the Old Testament people, the Israelites, they dreaded the ministry of angels because angels showed them pepper. They showed them pepper. Hebrews chapter 2, every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense. So when they sighted this angel, Bible says they were afraid. Dread came upon them. You know, that's not the case with Peter. Post-resurrection, Peter didn't see an angel and he began to dread. Paul did not see angels and began to dread. That was a different, you know, response, because these ones had been perfected in the love of God. They knew that angels were ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them and minister to them. Glory be to God. So the same way Jesus was not always afraid whenever he saw angels. You see, if you are a Christian and you see an appearance of angels or see manifestation of angels and you are afraid and you start dreading, you need to correct your impression by the word of God. Angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who are heirs of salvation. Hallelujah. So the same way Jesus was not afraid or panicking at the sight of angels, angels ministered to him in his earthly sojourn, in his ministry in the flesh. But you see, he was never afraid. He was at home because he understood that angels came to minister. They've been sent for to minister to him and for him. Hallelujah. So, but these guys, based on their knowledge of the Old Testament, based on the experiences they've had in the Old Testament, as they spotted the angels, they were afraid. Hallelujah. Well, listen to what the angel said. Verse 10. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. So that shows you that in the glad tidings, in the good tidings that the angels have brought this time around, there is no fear, there's no terror, there's no need to be afraid. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. These are men that were yet to be saved in the new covenant, yet the angel was giving them assurance that, see, there's no need to be afraid. How much more those of us who have received these glad tidings? So the angel said to these guys, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in this city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Because the Savior is around, you need not to be afraid. Hallelujah. Because the Savior is around, you need not be afraid. Glory to God. Glory to God. He says, and this will be a sign. This will be the sign to you. You find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in the manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Have you seen? On earth, harmony with men, goodwill. Goodwill means delight, pleasure, good pleasure, kindness towards men. Glory to Jesus. So peace was the announcement of the angel this time around. Peace towards men. Hallelujah. Because Jesus came, Bible says Jesus came and he preached peace to those who were far off and to those who were near. So the gospel is a preaching of peace, harmony with God, reconciliation with the Father. Glory be to God. Look at John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus speaking, John 16, 33. He says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. I have overcome the world. Look at Acts 10, 36. In me you have peace. Acts 10, 36. Glory to Jesus. Now, when Jesus says in me you will have peace, you realize that in the world you have tribulation. So that peace cannot be just any kind of peace. It's not peace based on circumstances, based on situations. It's peace, harmony with God. Peace in Christ. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 10, 36. Glory to Jesus. The man Peter speaking at Acts 10, 36 in the house of Cornelius. He says, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, is Lord of all. Have you seen that? Preaching peace through Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. The gospel of reconciliation, the gospel of Christ, which is the gospel of reconciliation, announcement of reconciliation, is one and the same as preaching peace and harmony through Christ. Glory be to God. So the essence of having this reconciliation is that we have peace with the Father. We have harmony with the Father. There's no strife. There's no discord. Hallelujah. Nothing can separate us. Glory be to God. We'll continue to explore this tomorrow. Do good to tune in tomorrow, 7 a.m. Invite your friends. Put on your WhatsApp status on Facebook. Invite your colleagues, your classmates, your, you know, anybody at all. And let's come together to have a great time again in the Word of God. Do have a great day of being full of God's Word, full of the Spirit, full of prayer, full of spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.